Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what started as strange noises in his room turned into something much worse. And the night it all escalated, his mother didn't just get scared. She left and refused to ever come back.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is, an 855-853-4802. If you want to share your real ghost stories with us, we'd love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony, Todd, and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. Unexplained noises, strange noises in that house that only happen at certain times. I notice in the description of the story, I haven't heard the call yet, one of the notes in there says that only happened when Dad wasn't at home.
Right. Although the whole story does remind me of one 4th of July, mm-hmm. My mother mysteriously disappeared.
What?
It really did. She just took off with a house full of company, and we couldn't find her. Oh, the good times.
Because why not?
I know. We found her 3 days later.
Well, was she okay? Did she come home? I mean, what happened?
No, they found her at a cemetery. Like, I don't know what happened. Nobody knew where she had been for 3 days. How long she'd been there, I don't know. I have no idea. The mom mysteriously disappearing always that just takes me right back.
The world was so much better before we had so mental health treatments. I mean, this is the so shit simple. That went on, you know? This is like all undiagnosed issues that like nobody knew what to do about. It's just like, well, they do that, you know?
Well, we found her.
Yeah.
Where is she? It's like she took the car. We can't come get her.
It's like the stuff that's just tolerated is like, well, that's what happens. You know, it's, God, it's like, crazy.
Okay, she's home now. We're fine.
But if it's normal, it's
that
normal.
That reminded me of my mother.
That's funny. Let's go to the phone call. 855-853-4802 is the phone number. Hi, let's hear it.
This is Ray from Ohio. I'm a funeral director, and I've had like paranormal experiences my whole life. And I wanted to maybe share how I kind of got, I think, the beginning of all that. When I was just a little baby, my father bought a house in East Liverpool, Ohio. It was in this section called Little England. And he got it for a normal price, and there was nothing to look at, but it was perfect for our family. We had just come over from Germany. That he was in the military, and we had been spending some time in Maryland, but we were coming back home where he was from to kind of get started, and he had gotten work. So it was just about ideal. It was just big enough for the three of us, him and my mother and myself, and it had room enough that our family, if it grew, it wouldn't be an issue for having space. We had room to grow out if we needed it. Now, I believe I was just about 2 years old when we had moved in, and at first, nobody had noticed anything abnormal. Now, let me just kind of let you know a little bit about myself. I was walking and talking at a very young age, a few words here and there, but I was walking at 6 months and speaking at that point. And I literally can recall great details from my childhood. I mean, I can remember the first time I was spanked. I can remember having diapers changed as a baby. So my clarity is pretty good. Now, a lot of the story I'm going to tell you is not just my memory of it. It's also my mother's and my aunt's. And I've kind of composited everything so that it all kind of goes together. Now, these events had happened roughly in 1971 or 1972. And the first thing I'll tell you is that there was a black smoky mass that lived in my closet. Now, I can't really tell you what it was there for or why it was there. All I know was it was malevolent. And it had no form. Like, you can't say it looked like a person or it was human in any way. It was really like a big black cloud almost, but spiky. I don't know how to describe it any other way. But it swirled and it almost stormed. I can't really describe what it was like other than it was a black mass. I mean, honestly, you see movies and things like that, but I can't tell you what it looked like other than that. And it scared me completely and utterly. I hated being in my room alone. If it was just my closet door, I was in there, it would just open up and the thing would kind of stalk me around the room. It wouldn't leave me be. So I had this fear of this closet as a baby, and my mother just didn't understand why I would not go into the room or go near that part of the room at all. But I can recall that thing coming after me a bit and trying to get away from it. It just freaked me out. Now, my mother had started hearing things when she was downstairs after a few weeks that we had moved in. There would be noise from my bedroom when I was with her downstairs, and she could never quite place what the noise was. It was a weird sound, almost like a swooshing or something like that. But she would go upstairs to look, and she wouldn't see anything, nothing out of the ordinary and nothing strange, and she would just come back downstairs. And then it would happen again, and she'd hear something, and she'd have to go look again, and she would find nothing, and then she'd kind of dismiss it. And it wasn't until one day when she went upstairs to see what the noise was that her first glance, she saw nothing out of the ordinary, but it was later on she realized that there was a basket of clothes that she had taken to my room earlier that she hadn't emptied. It still had the clothes in it. She realized it was not where she had placed it. You know, it was at a different part of the room, and she couldn't figure out why the basket of clothes was over by the wall instead of the dresser. It would have made no sense for her to put it there. It kind of struck her as odd, and she went back downstairs and waited. And when she heard this noise again, she went up into my room and she saw that the basket had moved from the wall where it was last located to another part of the room over by my bed. And she instantly became concerned that someone was in the house. And she, you know, what are you going to think otherwise? You know, somebody's upstairs playing games with you or something. So she took me to my grandmother's until my father got home from work. He kind of did a look around and he found nothing as well. Now, the next day, my mother heard the noise again and again. The basket of clothes that she had brought up from the night before had moved. So she went back downstairs to the kitchen and tried to ignore it. But the harder she tried to ignore it, the more frequently the basket would slide around as far as she was concerned. And I should mention that my room was hardwood floors, and the noise it made was quite easy to hear. So it wasn't like you were hearing a basket sliding across, you know, carpeting or anything. It was hardwood floors and the basket just dragging around. So from there, whenever my mother and I were alone, strange things would happen. The lights would flicker or blow out altogether. Objects downstairs, like small ones, started moving around too. And I don't mean that we would see them moving. We never saw that happen. But, you know, you put something down and then it would be in another room later on, is what she would say. So you might find a glass in another room or something else, you know, like your pen. And sometimes, like, glasses that she would take down to drink from would just be broken. And so on and so forth. So that kind of scared her because she was always afraid I was going to get cut. But none of this happened when my father was home. And, you know, it's always the story, you know, like if you have a car and you're a young kid and you, hey, Dad, my car's making this weird sound. He'd go, well, let's go look at the car. You get in the car, drive around for 4 hours, and it doesn't make a sound. He gets out, you drive down the road, and it's clunk, 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 clunk. And that's just how it was with that. You know, if he was there, nothing would occur. And then as soon as he was out of the house, this weird stuff would happen. So this one night, I could hear scratching from inside of my closet, and I remember freaking out. I was screaming and crying, hoping that my mother or father would come to get me. But slowly, it kind of escalated that after that point, after that night, the scratching and growling was kind of heard by my father, too. But my dad always played it off like there was some animal in there. Like, he always figured we had this raccoon. He kept saying that damn coon, you know, the house upstairs, he thought it was in the attic and would get down to my closet. And that's why I was afraid. He was afraid, you know, I was afraid of this raccoon. On one night, one of the last nights that we lived there, and I'm really skipping over a lot for condensation of the story. I was spending a night with my grandparents, and my mother was all alone. My grandparents had offered to watch me for something so my mother could get ready for something. And so I was there, and my mother was home all by herself, and that was when all hell broke loose. She said things were being thrown. Doors and cabinets would open and slam. The weird noises increased, and the lights would go on and off. And my mother, like, really freaked out, and she called my aunt Anita. And my aunt, you know, had kind of had an idea that things were happening, but she was, you know, one of these people that said, you know, I don't really believe it until I see it. So she was happy to come over and spend some time with my mother because my mother was so afraid. She could not bear to be in the house by herself. Well, when my aunt came over to the home, she found my mother sitting on her couch with a shotgun across her lap. She was in tears. And my mother explained that just as she had finished up all this other stuff in the house, the power went out and she was terrified. And so she was not going to be, you know, sitting in the dark with some ghost unless she had a gun. And so, you know, doesn't make sense, but that's what she really thought. Anita sat with her for a few minutes and she heard things, and they both agreed to get out from that point. And so my aunt took my mother to my grandparents' house, and my mother told my father that she was not going back in the home. And if he wanted to live there, he was more than welcome to it, but she would never go back into the house again, not even to pack. And so that was how we ended up leaving Little England. It was kind of a abrupt thing, but we were maybe about 2 months from that happening till the time we were completely moved out. And what would happen is my dad would come home from work, and he would go over and pack. And then once the house was all packed up, he and his brothers all loaded up everything and moved to the house that we had found that was, you know, nearby, but it was, you know, not in Little England, and it was far away. And I really think that my experiences with that thing in the room kind of opened me up to weird things happening or noticing weird things, because my whole life I've seen things or heard things, and my wife is the same way. And now that I'm a funeral director, I really think that maybe this kind of pushed me into that pocket of things to do in your life too. And that experience has really kind of opened me up to this other side that I don't think a lot of people notice most of the time, because, you know, as a lot of people say, I've had experiences, and some of the things you would not believe if I told you them. And it also makes other people kind of like tell me their stories. I don't know why it is, but I can be in a room all by myself and three people will come in, and two out of the three of them will start talking about weird things that have happened to them. And it's just bizarre. Especially after they find out I'm a funeral director, that kind of helps that along. But I always get these weird stories and things from people. So take care. Bye-bye.
That's got to be an interesting profession to be in for stories.
What is that profession exactly?
Funeral director.
Oh, funeral director.
Yeah.
I thought he was saying field director, and I wasn't sure exactly
like
what that was.
Yeah. Funeral director. It's interesting to me that what he was talking about at the beginning there, like he has all these memories, like he remembers his diapers being changed.
Right.
And then he was walking and talking at 6 months with, you're just a little baby at 6 months. Mm-hmm. But like to have that kind of memory and then all that. So he remembers the thing in his closet. It just sounds like the whole house was just so haunted. So why do you think he would have experiences? And I see why his parents are going to be like, it's his imagination, and you kind of discount some of that. But like his mom having experiences like that, but his dad, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's interesting. Was his dad just not, you think, open to it? Or is it like, don't mess with dad?
Well, I don't know about you guys growing up, but if we did something wrong, first thing my mom would say was, wait till your dad gets home, right? Mm-hmm. So we were, you know, I was afraid of both my parents, but certainly of my dad. I wonder if that played into, was the family dynamic, you know, if that was the family dynamic as well, maybe whatever was there didn't want to mess with dad either. I don't know.
Or maybe whatever was there had a bad experience with another dad.
Right, right.
Or maybe the noises were coming from Ghost Dad, Bill Cosby, the character from the television, or from the movie. Remember they were in the movie Ghost Dad, anybody?
Sure. I never saw it, but I remember when it came out.
I remember, I think I might have seen it at the Forest Mall Cinema 1 and 2, if I remember correctly.
That was the ghetto theater.
It was. It was. It was also the cheaper theater, which is what we would, which is what we would choose to go to, and still sneak our cans of soda in and all that as well. We get at the Piggly Wiggly, the Jolly Goods before you go to the movie. In fact, I happen to have a song about this story.
No
way.
It's kind of Michael McDonald.
Or that's Al Jarreau.
Yeah.
Al Jarreau, good.
Smooth sounds. It's called Unplugged Phone Jello. So that's what...
I think your mom would like this song.
It's probably good.
I like the song. It's not the lyrics. Going on, my daddy's not home. Mama locks the door and unplugs the phone.
Headboard, hidden drywall, but ain't nobody there. Just the smell of Jell-O pudding and some Jerry Curl in there. Jeez. Caught him on a Tuesday, floating 6 inches off my mama. She was screaming, oh, Lord, she did not find a spider. He caught me watching through the keyhole, floated to the door, smiled and said, hey, 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 little man, you look confused.
He comes through the walls when daddy's on the road. Mama said it's spiritual, but that ain't what the Bible shows. Ghost dad. Why is that putting on the sheet? Ghost dad. Mama's walking funny and she can't feel her feet. Told my daddy everything, showed him the pudding stains. Mama said I have needs, Kevin. Your dead boyfriend outperforms my living spouse. Daddy sat in his truck for 6 hours with the engine off. Somewhere upstairs a voice says she's right, Kevin. Your stroke game is soft. Mama got pregnant, daddy hadn't touched her in weeks. Oh, the sound of see-through when the baby speaks. It whispered, sip, sop. From inside the womb, baby came out glowing in a tiny cardigan. Doctor dropped it once it floated back and winked at him. Ghost dad. Mama's got a ghost baby now. Ghost dad. It floats above the crib and won't stop taking the bite. Full custody to a man who died in 22. He bought the house, the car, the kids. Dead, and still got a better lawyer than daddy did.
Last I heard, daddy's in a studio apartment in Akron. Mama redecorated the whole house. And every Tuesday night, the walls shake. The pudding appears. And you hear him whisper. She chose me. Kevin. Good night.
Yeah, I could see my mom liking that song.
God. Ghost be make
I know
my
she
mama
always liked
moan.
The she loved the smooth jazz station. That's why I said that back in the
day. Yes, yes. She definitely did love the smooth jazz station.
Oh my God, that was funny.
It's okay. It's a hairball. You're okay. Cats over there.
Oh, I was like, was that in the song? And I didn't
no,
hear it.
What the hell? That was some live action here in the studio, right over there.
Poor Akron, Ohio. That line killed me.
She's got a studio apartment in Akron, Ohio.
And mom's redecorating the house.
All right. Do we have another ghost story?
Yes.
All right, let's hear that.
Hi. My name is Angela, and I'm calling from Michigan. I have many stories about what my son has called the man when he was younger, who now my daughter now sees, and she calls him the businessman. But I will share one of my positive stories that is related to my son and the paranormal. When he was 2, before my daughter was born, he was afraid at night by the man, and that's what he would call him. He would scream and yell, "The man, the man." But that all changed one day when he told me that his Uncle Mike would talk to him at night when he was in bed. Now, you have to understand that he didn't talk very much at that age because he has autism. So when he said something, he really meant it. And Uncle Mike is my brother, and I am a firm believer of the paranormal. So I did wonder if possibly it was my dad who had passed away 1 year and 1 week exactly before my son was born, because my brother looks so much like my dad. I just would say that's nice, and because I was so happy that he was no longer afraid at night and yell, the man, who I have seen go into his room, but that's another story. Anyway, we hadn't lived here very long in the house that we are in now, and at the time that he said Uncle Mike was visiting him. So one day I was putting up new pictures on the walls, and, you know, he was kind of following me around the house, and he started tapping on one of the pictures. He climbed up on the sofa, and he was tapping on it going, "Hey, Mom, that's Uncle Mike. That's him." And it was a picture of my dad. And it makes me smile to remember that, him standing on the sofa and tapping on that picture, because it kind of made me feel like, hey, maybe he stopped being afraid of the man because my dad was talking to him at night. Well, I have lots more stories to tell you about the man who now visits my daughter. And she calls him the businessman because sometimes he appears with a hat. And it is a shadow man, because I have seen him. I used to sleep, my husband and I used to sleep in the room she sleeps in now, and I had seen that shadow go into my son's room. So another time, possibly, I will call back and tell you more about our experiences with the man. I want to thank you for your show. It's a great show, and have a good day.
Thank you for sharing all that with us. Thoughts on the man?
I think it's really interesting that both her kids would see a very similar, like, I think it'd be one thing to have your kid have an imaginary friend, but the other kids describing a very similar apparition thing that mm-hmm. she's seeing. I think that's interesting.
When I was little, I would have constant dreams, nightmares. And one of the dreams I had was about somebody that I called the man. And it was a guy that was in the basement of the place that we were living in. We lived in a duplex at the time. And there was a very dark corner of the basement, probably the scariest basement I've ever had in any house that I ever lived in. And the dream was just over and over and over. I would have to go into the basement to get something, whatever that was. And in the corner was the man, and he was kind of like a shadow figure, but also he was outlined. It reminded me of like static electricity, mm-hmm. and his eyes were empty except for that static electricity. And I would have to get close enough to him to get whatever I was getting in the dream, but he would always catch me in the dream. But so when she was saying the man, I was like freaking out a little bit. I'm like, please don't say it's a guy in the basement that, you know, looks like a shadow, except, you know, he had static electricity, because that would be too freaky for me.
When he gets you, does it feel like static electricity yes. over your whole body?
Yep.
I had the exact same fucking nightmares.
And then I would wake up. But yes. that's what it was like.
Yes.
It was like
you that's where you wake up.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like
I had it in the same. It was and it'd be variations on it. Like the first one was the first one I called. It was the skeleton dream, because I think the man, like it was I didn't call it the man, but the first, like the B being that got me was a skeleton. But then it was like variations on whenever I would be like in a basement or kind of a dark, secluded place or something. And the dreams I would have, they'd usually be in settings that I knew. So it'd be like in my aunt's house or this house or that house or some house. And it would always be, you know, you just kind of felt this thing was coming on. And then when it got you, it was the worst feeling. I mean, I always described it as like being like tickled all over. Like,
yeah,
like it's a static electricity too. That's like a better way of putting it probably. And it's just a really extremely uncomfortable feeling. It's like when you get a shiver, but it's just like all over and you can't stop it for until you wake up. And usually it doesn't last super long, but that's when you wake up.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That happened in both you guys.
Yeah.
Separated.
I've never had
birth.
Anything like that.
I am. It's that. Yeah, I'd have that. I haven't had that for a long time. Like I've had one, a couple of those as an adult. I don't know if it was just like retro dreaming. One day, let's go back and relive the magic of that shit. But I remember having that. That was like the very, and I called it the skeleton dream, and it was variations over. Because the first time I had it, I think it was like I was a little kid. But I was hanging onto the side of a station wagon on Winnebago Drive, and I was going down and I was like, hey, that's my house. And then I jumped off the side of the station wagon. I mean, it's like something out of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And then I go into my house on Winnebago Drive, and then I get inside and there's a skeleton like running around and he's glowing. And then I'm freaking out and I turn around to run, but then he comes and gets me. And then that's when that feeling comes on. And then I get carried to the basement in that house. Mm. There you go. Ugh. It always carries you to the basement. That's what always it had happening
to me.
I don't
like that.
And the skeleton said, skeleton, de-skeleton. I don't
it
know
did?
What.
It did?
In the dream, it was skeleton, de-skeleton. That was like, I guess, the scariest thing my mind could come up with at the moment when I was three.
That was in the dream? Skeleton, yes. De-skeleton?
Skeleton, de-skeleton? Yeah, because I remember when it was like attacking me, it was like saying skeleton, de-skeleton. And then I remember waking up and like freaking out, like the skeleton, de-skeleton.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. That's terrifying.
Was D his middle initial?
I don't know. I don't know what it was. I think it was just like, I don't know. Skeleton, de-skeleton. Who knows? I was three, but.
See, that's so weird to me. I have no memories from that time. Like three, not a one.
Yeah. I can still picture the dream. I was,
No, your memories are of your mom just taking off for 3 days. I don't know which one's worse.
Explain why I have no memories.
Exactly.
Blocked it all out.
Yeah. Oh, they're there. They'll just come up later. Yeah. All right. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. If you want to share your ghost stories with us, we'd love to hear them. Of course, you can write it at realghoststoriesonline.com. It's going to wrap up this program. If you want access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and all that, check us out on Patreon. Search Real Ghost Stories Online, Apple Podcast, our premium channel there as well. Until next time, for Todd and Carol, I am Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.